Part 30, Chapter 1. Andrew McAdam and Baron von Roth put down piles of papers and attaché cases on the floor on their side of the table, briefly shook hands with Dries Glotten and Lord Voraz, and sat down. Johnny blinked. McAdam and the Baron were wearing gray suits. They were expensive tweed, and the individual fibers sparkled. But they were gray suits. The four of them sat there at the table for a bit, just looking across it at one another. Johnny was reminded of some gray wolves he had once seen, prowling back and forth, eyes alert, teeth ready, sizing each other up before they plunged into a snarling, slashing fight to the death. And it was a fight to the death, for if McAdam and the Baron lost, that was the end of the people of this planet and all they held dear. He didn't have the least idea what McAdam and the Baron had been doing. And it was with a sinking feeling that he heard McAdam fire the first shot of the battle.
"Are you sure that you gentlemen couldn't give us a little more time? Say, another month?"
Dries showed his double row of teeth as his lips curled back.
"Impossible! You have waited until the last moment. There can be no extension."
"Times are very bad,"
said the Baron.
"There are economic upsets everywhere."
"We know that,"
said Lord Voraz.
"It cannot be used as an excuse. If you were unable to pay your just debts and settle your obligations, you could have said so days ago and spared us this wait. I can't imagine what you were doing."
"I was interrogating abandoned crew members of the departed ships,"
said McAdam.
"It was a bit difficult to find an officer of each race that attacked this planet."
"And they told you there were economic upsets. You might as well sign this quitclaim to the planet now and get it over with."
He pushed a form at Sir Robert, who didn't get a chance to take it. McAdam pushed the form back to the table and let it drop.
"I found that these crewmen did not want to go home. They had been conscripted, actually press-ganged into their services. Some felt that on return they might have to take part in revolutions or civil wars, and did not want to fire on their own people. Some felt that if they went home they would just be discharged and have to join the mobs of unemployed that were starving and sometimes rioting in the streets of many capitals."
"This is nothing new. All this past year there has been unrest. That's why these emissaries here are planning wars of foreign conquest, to take the people's minds off all this. You could have asked me, I would have told you."
"This changes nothing,"
said Dries.
"I advise you to surrender the planet tamely, for any of these emissaries would like nothing better than to buy this planet and mount a military expedition to wrest it from you. The ships that were up there were nothing compared to what could be sent against you. So if you will just..."
The Baron fixed him with a bayonet stare. He said,
"Having collected all the data available locally, we went to see for ourselves."
Johnny came alert. Ah, so that's what all that firing was about. This pair had been traveling all over the place. He'd noticed faint air mask marks on their jaws. Had they been doing something else than just traveling?
"There is economic chaos,"
said the Baron.
"When intergalactic mining companies ceased to deliver metals, the scarcity caused their prices to soar. Factories are closed. People are out of work and rioting. To distract them, the governments are planning wars that are not popular. To get metals to build weapons, they are even commandeering people's cars and the pots and pans of housewives."
Dries shrugged.
"This is not news, and it is totally off the subject of your unpaid balance. Does the Earth Emissary sign this, or do we resort?"
He let the threat hang. The air seemed charged with electricity for a moment. The Baron's pale gray eyes bored into Dries Glotten.
"You are in severe trouble, Your Excellency."
The branch manager shrugged.
internal concerns of the bank have no bearing on your paying up as you are obligated to do.